we look back at the presidential campaign up to this point of South Bend's Pete Buttigieg. From his unassuming start to a sudden vault into contention and a meteoric rise to the top tier of the Democratic field, on this special episode of Indiana Week in Review.
Indiana Week in Review is made possible by the supporters of Indiana Public Broadcasting Stations and by Ice Miller. Ice Miller is a full-service law firm committed to helping clients build, grow, and protect their interests. More at icemiller.com.
This week, South Bend Mayor Pete Buttigieg made official what many have long speculated: he'll make a bid for president in 2020. The 37-year-old Democrat made his announcement via a video to supporters that touts his work revitalizing South Bend.
Good leadership brings out the best in us. The job of a leader is to call us to our highest values.
We stand for the better America that we know we can be. That's our message. It's not even complicated.
Buttigieg is a Rhodes Scholar who was first elected mayor of his hometown in 2011 at age 29, making him the youngest mayor of a U.S. city with at least 100,000 residents. He served a tour of duty in Afghanistan while mayor in 2014 as a member of the Navy Reserve. And in addition to being the youngest candidate who's so far announced a White House bid for 2020, Buttigieg also becomes the first openly gay major party presidential candidate.
Jennifer Hollowell, it would be unusual to go from mayor to the White House, but can we rule it out in the current political climate?
Well, there are a few presidents who've been mayors, but they also were later legislators, congressmen, and governors before they made it to the White House. So I don't think that it's very likely, but, it's not a bad play. I think that he's probably more interested in building a national profile in hopes that at some point, if Democrats get the White House back, he may have some position in an administration. I mean, I think that's what he's probably looking to more. But I don't think he's probably going to be president anytime soon.
Let me put it this way. I think that's the consensus, is that this is a run for vice president or a cabinet post or something like that. But if president is possible, how does Pete Buttigieg do it?
Well, first of all, he's more than a mayor. He's also served in the Afghan War, has served in the Navy on a counterterrorism intelligence team. And I would also argue that qualities of mayors are not necessarily something to be written off. They solve very complex problems in real time. They answer in real time to their constituents. So I think that's a fresh perspective that he'll be able to sell. I think that the American public is looking for someone who will bring people together over their common purpose, not their common pain. I think he has the ability to do that, and I think his freshness is actually an advantage.
Whether the goal is to build a national profile and potentially get a job or to be president itself, this is going to be a crowded Democratic field. So how does Pete Buttigieg stand out?
I mean, the fact is he's young, I'm not inside his head, but I think that he probably knows he's not going to be president in 2020. But he wants to be part of the national conversation. He wants to talk about the future of the party and the country. And if that, and it probably will, raises his national profile in a way that he can contribute some other way, I mean, I think that's positive for Indiana and him.
He's said he's going to serve out his term as mayor, at least at this point. We'll see if that holds. But again, if you're Pete Buttigieg, what do you do now to make sure that you're not just one of dozens who seem to be running for president on the Democratic side?
Well, it seems to me the strategy is the one he's adopted, which is, in addition to talking about his brain power and his military service, he talks about, I'm not a stranger to government and politics because of my service as a mayor. And that probably is a plus because that governmental service didn't take place in a place called Washington, D.C.
Well, South Bend Mayor Pete Buttigieg made a splash this week with a CNN town hall that generated not just buzz, but a surge in tangible support for the Democratic presidential candidate. Buttigieg's cable news appearance is part of a series of programs CNN is doing with presidential hopefuls. It covered everything from policy issues to how he and his husband say their last name is pronounced. Buttigieg was also asked about fellow Hoosier Vice President Mike Pence. He said while he's long disagreed with Pence, he used to believe the former governor believed in America's institutions and wasn't personally corrupt.
How could he allow himself to become the cheerleader of the porn star presidency? Is it that he stopped believing in Scripture when he started believing in Donald Trump? I don't know.
In the wake of the TV appearance, Buttigieg's campaign got a boost in fundraising. He's now just 10,000 donors short of the threshold needed to make it onto the Democratic Party's primary debate stage.
Leslie Weidenbetter, we've talked a lot about on the show about what it would take for Buttigieg to really make an impact in this race. Are we starting to see it?
Well, starting would be the key word. no offense to Pete Buttigieg, but he's got a road here. This is one of the first steps. He's got to get on the debate stage. And this is sort of the way to go about doing that. So is he at a point yet where he's going to garner a lot of votes? Absolutely not. Is he getting some attention and some really interesting attention and exactly the right kind of attention that you want? He is. And if he can get over these thresholds and get on the debate stage, then he's got the potential to maybe convince some people to vote for him.
To say the field is crowded is an understatement.
Yeah.
But does Buttigieg's profile make him stand apart a little bit?
Possibly, although we did see another mayor jump into the race, and so that takes away a little bit from Pete Buttigieg. But he is really young. He does have military experience. These are all things he's hitting on in that CNN town hall. He is gay and he is married. Those things are appealing to some voters. Those things are helping him stick out. I think it will be interesting to see if he gets on the debate stage. And if he does, can he stand out on the debate stage?
Yeah. Apart from that, how does he capitalize on this?
Well, I think he did a great job at the town hall capitalizing on that. Town halls are difficult. The presidential stage is difficult. And, you know, Leslie's right. The first step is giving yourself a platform, right? And every time he's given the opportunity, he hits a home run. You know, after the town hall, which is typically something that's difficult to kind of flex on, he hit it out of the park. He's within 10,000 donors of the 65,000 that he needs to get on the debate stage. He's going to get there. He is very successfully inching his way on the path that he needs to give himself a platform to then start converting voters.
We've talked before on the show about, is this a run for president to really run for vice president or a cabinet post? But particularly the clip that was most shared from that town hall was definitely the one where he talked about Mike Pence. And do you think voters are starting to see in their minds, oh, what would a vice presidential debate be like between the two of them?
I actually hadn't thought of that. That's a good angle. So the response to the question, is he going to stand out? He's going to stand out. I mean, what do you think of Pete Buttigieg as a Hoosier? I mean, you look at him in a national context, and certainly in the context of the Democratic Party nationally right now, and he looks like the only sane person standing there. So, yes, he is going to stand out compared to Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, these other people that are far left. I mean, he's going to have a hard time fitting in, I think. Or convincing Democratic primary voters that he even belongs in the Democratic Party at this point.
He's bringing up some interesting points that I hadn't heard other candidates talk about yet. I mean, on that CNN town hall, one of the things he suggested was increasing the size of the United States Supreme Court and not necessarily having them all appointed by the president. So, you know, if he's bringing up things like that, that might help him stick out too.
We've also seen a tinge of Birch Bayh's legacy when he talks about, and another, to your point, other presidential candidates have talked about this, but getting rid of the Electoral College. I thought that was interesting and definitely another tie-in of the
Hoosier common sense.
It'll be interesting if he gets onto the debate stage because he's incredibly good at these situations where he's kind of commanding the situation. I mean, he was being interviewed.
Where he's another in the lineup.
It'll be very interesting and to see how he plays off other people, especially if anybody attacks anything he said.
Yeah. Well, Mayor Pete Buttigieg left the presidential campaign trail this week to return home as South Bend deals with the police shooting of Eric Logan, who is black.
A South Bend police officer shot 53-year-old Eric Logan early Sunday morning while responding to a call about a suspect stealing from cars. The St. Joseph County Prosecutor's Office says Logan approached the officer with a raised knife. But neither dash cameras or the officer's body cameras were on during the incident, prompting outcry from the community and frustration from Buttigieg. The South Bend mayor and Democratic presidential candidate spent much of the week at home meeting with community leaders, but he also faced criticism for not attending a vigil held by Logan's family.
Nikki Kelly, how much does this impact Buttigieg's presidential run?
I think it remains to be seen. Obviously, I think he did was right to come off the trail and deal with that. He's struggled with connecting with African Americans in his race, so I think if he would have just continued on, that would have basically cut it down. And I think he probably did the right thing not attending the vigil, too, because, you know, if you make it, then it becomes all about this sort of presidential hoopla and not about the victim. And so, I mean, I think we'll see, but he made the absolute right choice to come back and deal with it, even if he's trying to toe that fine line.
Yeah, towing that fine line for sure. And is this something that it's a blip and then it recedes into the background, or is this something that might stay with him a little bit?
The fact that he's handled it as well as he has. I mean, there's a tragedy here, and somebody's dead, and an investigation has been opened, so we don't know where that will lead. The fact that, as Nikki suggested, he has done about the best you can with tough
circumstances,
I doubt it affects him long term.
Did he handle this about as well as it could be handled, all things considered?
I mean, here's the thing, right? Cities don't run themselves. And South Bend is not a huge place, right? So I was a chief of staff for a town of 15,000 people. And you have to be there to run the government. And, right, and so the fact that he's been off, gallivanting around Iowa, New Hampshire, and apparently not South Carolina, but maybe in a few more days. Maybe in a few more days. Right, and not managing the affairs of the city in a city that is not as safe as it could be, not as well taken care of as it could be, speaks to his overall leadership. We don't know yet what happened in this particular incident. That investigation will have to go forward. And I think he's acknowledged, right, that somebody's dead here, right? And there's a family that's grieving. There's an officer now that's been involved in this. But, you know, his police department has got a lot of work to do. And, you know, why was the guy's camera not on? If these are the orders that are coming out, I just think leadership, you have to be present to do it. And it's hard to do that when you're running for president.
Like the president that works 4 hours a day and is gone every weekend playing golf? That kind of president leadership? Is that what we need to have? That's what your guy is doing now. We're talking about a city of 100,000 and a country of 325 million, okay? And Donald Trump is MIA most of the time.
Do you not want to talk about the mayor?
I think he's doing what he needs to do. And I think that, as we've seen across the country, the police action shootings and problems with police departments are endemic everywhere. We haven't seen that necessarily in South Bend. We don't know what the investigation is going to show yet.
That's right.
So I think we would suspend judgment. He went back, and as Nikki said, he did the right thing, and that's what he can do. And at least he's there when it counts. I don't know where Donald Trump is.
I can't
let
this one go. I just want to point out that the state government ran without Mike Pence for months when he ran for president. Yeah. We saw him on Fridays when he would stop in and do an event. So, I mean, that's a tough one for me to take.
If it's 100,000, you have to be there, you see. If it's 6 million, you can go wherever you want.
South Bend Mayor Pete Buttigieg came out swinging in the fourth debate of the Democratic presidential primary. Buttigieg had largely avoided criticizing or arguing with his fellow candidates in the first three debates. Tuesday, that changed. He sharply criticized Senators Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders' support for Medicare for All. He sparred with Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard over President Trump's decision to pull troops out of Syria. And Buttigieg produced one of the most charged moments of the debate in a fierce back and forth with former Congressman Beto O'Rourke over the Texans' mandatory gun buyback proposal.
Listening to my fellow Americans, to those moms who demand action, to those students who march for our lives, who in fact came up with this extraordinary, bold peace plan that calls for mandatory buybacks, let's follow their inspiration and lead and not be limited by the polls and the consultants and the focus groups. Let's
Mayor
do what's
Buttigieg,
right
while
we
response?
Have time to do what's right.
Mayor Buttigieg?
The problem isn't the polls. The problem is the policy. And I don't need lessons from you on courage, political or personal. Everyone on this stage is determined to get something done.
Mike O'Brien, what will this pivot do for Buttigieg's campaign?
I think it'll move him up. The question you've got is you've got the top three candidates. You have two of them who are arguably centrist. I mean, clearly, I'm with Pete Buttigieg on his comments on the gun buyback program, which is insane strategy. I mean, there is a path to have a bipartisan gun control legislation come through Congress. But it's not that. It's not sending police door to door to go take people's guns away. That's never going to happen.
Which even some on the left.
Yeah, the other Democrats on the stage started hedging on
that idea.
But you know, I know I'm supposed to kind of bang on Pete Buttigieg, but my heart's just not in it today, so I'm going to say this instead. This is a remarkable, for the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, if you just like strip the RD politics away from it and kind of the period of history we're in Indiana politics, it's remarkable that he's gone from South Bend mayor and gotten to where he is. He's in the top three. The problem Democrats have right now is you have two centrist candidates. You have Joe Biden and Pete Buttigieg as centrist candidates in the top three who probably pull away from each other. Elizabeth Warren's clearly been the beneficiary of Joe Biden's problems with his son Hunter Biden and the controversy there. And Elizabeth Warren's moved into that top spot. But I think this strategy was, I mean, he established himself as a credible candidate in the first few debates. And now he's getting more aggressive and picking his moments there. Going to Iowa, and who knows what happens? He's raised a ton of money. He's leading the money fight. You're going into Iowa, and he's put a ton of people on the ground. So you've got four primaries in February. And then you have 16 on March 3rd, including California, Texas, and Virginia. And so this can move fast. And so it's hard to predict how it's really going to go. But I think it was a good strategy for him during the debate.
Going aggressive hasn't paid off for everybody in the Democratic primary so far in these debates. Some people it's worked for. Kamala Harris saw a bump and then settled back down to earth. Mm-hmm. Others, like Klobuchar, have actually seemingly done worse after they tried to go negative. How do you think Buttigieg's numbers will go?
I don't think he tried to go negative. I think he was questioning their policies and saying, if you're going to advocate for this, you got to tell us how you're going to fund it. And when you're talking about mandatory confiscation, you've got to realize what you're doing. And, you know, he was reacting to the notion that Beto O'Rourke was saying that anybody without courage, you had to have courage to back him. Well, I think his responses were totally appropriate. He was certainly a lot more forceful than he'd been, and he commanded the talking heads after this was over. Everybody agreed that he had a tremendous performance. Now, as we've said before, I'm not sure that the debates themselves move the mark very much. What's going to move the mark immediately would be Iowa and then New Hampshire. And he has positioned himself in both of those. He doesn't have to win. No. He just has to do better than expected. No. And that can catapult him, as it has others, into the nomination, because it will move fast after those.
Also, although after more performances like this and everything you've both been talking about, the money advantage he has right now and things like that, it starts to become a question of do better than expected, but what is expectations?
Well, he is so bright, though. I mean, when people hear him in person and the breadth of knowledge that he has and the thought he's given to these issues, there were people that were interviewed after this debate who said, you know, they thought they were going to be with one guy I heard on NPR was going to be with Bernie. And then he had heard Pete in Iowa and he said, wow, I'm going with him, despite everything.
Thank you for listening to NPR.
I always listen to NPR.
Let me ask this.
I do, too. Don't tell anybody.
Let me ask this, which is, we feel like we'd had stories for a few weeks now about him hitting a plateau. And we'd even talked about that on the show a little bit. Did he need a performance like this?
I think so, and I think it was good. He really established himself as, you know, a thoughtful, you know, concise speaker, and now he did the next step, which was distinguish himself from his opponents in a way that makes clear how they're different, but isn't quote unquote negative.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
You know, he didn't do anything crazy like that.
Yeah, it was an honest debate. He was just a lot more forceful.
And the one thing I really found interesting from the debate was the shots, because it was Bernie, you know, Biden, Warren, Buttigieg, and so when they zeroed in, it really focused on those four and showed, you know, even, you know, subconsciously that he is there.
Just a new poll out, I think maybe today, from Emerson in Iowa, shows Buttigieg third over Bernie Sanders. Is that a reasonable expectation, third in Iowa come the actual caucuses?
I think it is a reasonable expectation, given what has just been talked about here, the ground game that he has put in place in that state. He has more field offices, more organizers, I think, than any other candidate in the race seeking
the Democratic nomination.
And he has the money. I mean, Mike was talking about how now the battle for the centrist wing of the party may be between Buttigieg and Biden. Well, if money says anything there, it's 2.5 times the money for Buttigieg.
$9 million. Yeah.
And the other thing I would say about Buttigieg, he did what he needed to do, kind of shook things up, shook off that plateau that you had talked about, got $1 million in contributions in the immediate aftermath of the debate, yeah, which is great. But he's still not the front runner because, as we've talked about before, one thing you don't want to be is a front runner. Watch
too
what happens.
Look,
this,
too early.
The first few debates, you get targeted right. as Joe Biden so, did. Right. And now, look, we had Elizabeth Warren, who was basically, you know, the subject of a major pylon.
It was target practice.
And so to be just over the shoulders of the one or two people in the front, it's a good place to be.
Well, South Bend Mayor Pete Buttigieg surged in the Democratic presidential polls in Iowa this week after a debate performance a week ago that many praised. The week began with a new USA Today Suffolk University poll of likely Iowa Democratic caucus goers. That put Buttigieg in third place, just a few points behind former Vice President Joe Biden and Senator Elizabeth Warren. It's a race the Suffolk pollster calls up for grabs. Then a new poll from Iowa State University in civics puts Buttigieg second behind only Warren. He leapfrogged both Biden and Senator Bernie Sanders from a survey by the same pollster conducted just last month.
Nikki Kelly, we talked last week about his debate performance and what impact it might have. Is this, we're starting to see it?
Oh, absolutely. We already knew he was, you know, a darling of the donor network, and, you know, the money wasn't the problem. But now we're starting to see that, you know, a little bit more aggressive take is helping push him up the polls. Obviously, I think he's going to finish well in Iowa. I mean, if he finished a second, amazing. Mm-hmm. Even if he finished third, that would still be incredible for him.
For the mayor of South Bend.
Exactly. Yeah. But I do think, you know, you do have to look ahead. As much as his campaign doesn't want to, quote, look ahead, you know, you got to look ahead to places like South Carolina and that, where he's got to still figure out why he can't seem to make inroads on the minority vote.
Obviously, you know, the timing of this is such that maybe his debate performance had somewhat of a role to play, but I think Nikki just pointed out he's been doing so well in money, and that's translated, we've known, to he's got more field offices than anybody else in Iowa. They've spent a lot of time and money in Iowa so far. Is that perhaps the biggest driver
of these
new numbers? I think
they're both very important. I think even if you, in the absence of the debate performance he had, because of the ground game, because of the organization he has put in place, because of the extensive advertising, digital and more traditional formats, he probably would be in that top tier, in the top three. There's some interesting data. You cited a couple polls, but there are other polls or analyses that look even a step further about who are the most motivated caucus goers, who are people who are actually engaged and are, you know, come hell or high water or blizzard, determined to be there and take part in this process. And it's, if you look at that group, he's even, he actually is in the lead, I believe, by most of the analyses I've seen. So in an odd way, his biggest challenge now might be, I don't think he wants to be seen as the absolute de facto winner in Iowa before it happens, because then if he finishes, heaven forbid, you know, who would have thought we would have said this, you know, a few months ago, if he finishes second or nightmare of nightmares third, that would be a death knell perhaps. So this is where managing expectations becomes so important in this process.
I think about, we've done this and we'll do this poll again at some point, will he be the Democratic nominee for president? We've done it a lot over the last several months since he announced, and the numbers have changed steadily, getting more and more positive for him. But we're sitting just a few months out, just less than three from the Iowa caucus, and he's in second in a poll, in a major poll in that state. Is that kind of astonishing?
I mean, it's certainly better than I thought it would be at this point. Having survived a presidential campaign, it is quite a roller coaster. So I wouldn't get too excited about one day or 1 week or 1 month even.
Yeah, you don't want to peak too soon.
That's right.
And for him, like, he hasn't been first, which you don't want to be first because everyone goes after you. But it also isn't all in a vacuum. You know, Bernie Sanders has been dealing with health issues that has impacted his positioning and his ability to go out and campaign. You have Joe Biden, who's been dealing with the scandal of his son. And so there was an opening to be kind of seized, and him going after Elizabeth Warren made that all happen. I think it's still too early to know what's going to happen. And then we see as each state comes on next year, momentum plays a big factor, but there are also a lot of different kinds of voting targets in those states that will impact it.
Yeah, the Iowa electorate doesn't look like much of the rest of the electorate, but If you're Pete Buttigieg, John just kind of alluded to this. How do you manage those expectations now? We talked about him plateauing it seemed like he plateaued for a while, but then this is a new boost into a different tier, really. What's the next step? How do you manage this now?
I think it's trying to figure out how to stay steady in this next tier. You called him a darling of the donor class. It's clear that he can take those contributions and put them to work in a way that's effective. Hopefully that feeds itself. Now that he's in this next tier, he can take that whole new number that he's reached and make that work in a way that's proved to be successful in the past. But again, it is managing expectations. You don't want to pull too far ahead. I just think that we've said for almost a year now, you just have to stay steady, stay in the game, keep making yourself relevant. I mean, he keeps just doing everything
that he's supposed
to do, and he's bringing a lot of other people, new people, along with him. So
that's Indiana Week in Review for this week. If you'd like a podcast of this program, you can find it at wfyi.org/IWIR, or starting Monday, you can stream it or get it on demand from Xfinity and on the WFYI app. I'm Brandon Smith of Indiana Public Broadcasting. Enjoy the rest of your holiday weekend, and join us next time, because a lot can happen in an Indiana week.
Indiana Week in Review is made possible by the supporters of Indiana Public Broadcasting Stations and by Ice Miller. Ice Miller is a full-service law firm committed to helping clients build, grow, and protect their interests. More at icemiller.com. The opinions expressed are solely those of the panelists. Indiana Week in Review is a WFYI production in association with Indiana Public Broadcasting Stations.